Well, what's up, Kingdom Culture? How are you doing tonight? You doing well? Turn to the person next to you and say, you're looking really good right now. You're just looking really, really good. It's an honor to be with you tonight, and my name is Joshua Yuryevich, and it's a great honor to be here, and just want to give a big thank you to Pastor Mark. Can we just give it up for Pastor Mark and the entire staff, the entire team? What an amazing place this is. I was walking in, and I just felt, wow, this place is really special. What is going on in this house is really not happening in much anywhere else. This is a special place to be. Yeah, absolutely. And God was speaking to me, and he said, really, the foundation has been faithfulness. You know, 13 years that you've been pastoring these young people, but 13 years of faithfulness. Many people would have already given up. Many people would have already quit, but you stayed faithful, and here's the fruit. Can we just give it up one more time for Pastor Mark? I brought my beautiful wife, Joyce, stand up. Give it up for Joyce. We've been married for a really long time, 3 months, and it's been the best. So if you're dating, you know, get married because it's awesome. So, well, ik ga vanavond in Engels doen. Is dat oké voor jullie? Ik kan ook in Nederlands als je dat liever wil, maar we gaan gewoon in Engels vanavond. I grew up in Vlissingen in Zeeland. Anybody from Zeeland here? Oh wow, okay, yeah. It's not the hippest place to be, but I love it, you know, at the beach. And then when I was 7 years old, we moved to America, because my dad's American. And all those years, I still had a dream inside of my heart to come back to Holland. And all those years, 15 years I was in America, but 15 years I had this dream. And as I grew, my dream grew. And then I came to become a youth pastor at a great church. And I was 22 at the time, and I realized I had to make a decision if I was going to stay in America or really move to Holland. So I came to my pastor and said, Pastor, I got to tell you something. It's not a surprise to you, but I think it's time for me to move to the Netherlands. And so he blessed me. They blessed me, and I moved now 3 years ago to Hilversum. And the first day that I got to Hilversum, I met Joyce. So, can you believe that? My wife. So, some of you might just be in the wrong place right now. And, you know, if you just take that step and it's just going to happen, you know what I mean? So, it happened for me. And I said, okay, I've had enough. I'm ready to move back. And, you know, I got my wife now. So, you know, it's been 3 years and I moved and I didn't have a job. And actually, I was wanting to go to college, and I found out that I didn't have the right paperwork. So actually, that dream to go to college here didn't work out. And I found myself working at the PostNL. And yeah, what I realized was, after a while, I'm not the best, like, postman, you know. And after just 2 weeks, the manager called me in and said, Joshua, today you're not working. And I said, oh boy, like, I need this job, you know. And he said, you're really bad at this. I don't know if this is the right place for you. And I said, give me one more shot. And so he gave me another shot, and I worked there at the post faithfully. And I rented a little room in Hilversum. And before I knew it, you know, it's amazing where God takes you if you're faithful. And I was just faithfully serving my church in Thousand Hills, and my pastor sent you greetings, and we love you guys. And I was just faithfully serving there, and a year later, God put me on stage in front of over 2,000 young people in Holland and being able to speak at a conference. And what that taught me was that you should always focus on your message in life. and not be focused on platforms. Because if you focus on platforms in your life, you're just going to be seeking platforms, and you're going to lose your message. But if you're faithful to the message that God put on your life, God will always give a platform for your message. Yeah. So if your message is faithfulness, focus on your message in life, and God will always give you a platform for that. I remember when I was in America, and I really felt God was like, what is happening here in the church in America, I want you to help build for my church in Holland. And that was really kind of my heart. And I married Joyce, and one of the things I didn't know was that Joyce's grandmother, many years ago, she was struggling with cancer, and she was about to die. And she heard of a woman in America named Catherine Kuhlman, and some of you might know her. She was doing healing ministry in America, and this was many decades ago. And she decided, I need to go to America, and I want to give this one shot, and I need to go to Catherine Kuhlman Crusade. And she went to America, and it was her last shot. The doctors told her, don't go because you won't be able to make it. But they gave her a Catholic nun to join her. And the Catholic nun, she was really big. And she was actually very small and a Dutch woman. And they traveled to America, and the nun was taking care of her. And they went to a crusade of Catherine Kuhlman, and nothing happened. And then for about a couple of weeks, they went to the different crusades. And at one of the crusades, she got touched by God, and she got healed. And she was on the airplane from America going back to Holland. And she said, God, what Catherine Kuhlman is doing in America, I want to do for Holland. And I realized actually that was my same prayer. What God is doing in America to build up the church, I want to help build in Holland because this place needs it. And her name was Marty Heyer. Many of you probably don't know her, but she came back to Holland and she started doing healing crusades. And God used her mightily to bring revival here in our country. You know, all that to say is focus on your message in life and not focus on platform. But it's an honor to be with you tonight, and we're in the series here, So Will I. And tonight I want to talk about salvation, God of salvation. And when I got this, I had to think of the story of Apostle Paul. I mean, Apostle Paul, he was an amazing man of God that God used to plant churches, and Paul wrote half of the New Testament. That is incredible. Half of the New Testament he wrote, but he was not always an apostle. Before he got saved, he was really known for persecuting the church, and he was going around, and he was a radical, really a religious leader, part of the Pharisees, and he would go around Israel, and he would look at Christians to persecute, and on the way to Damascus, he had a God encounter. And I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 9, verse 9. And we're going to read a story of how God saved this man who was actually attacking him, and how God turned his life around. And really, I believe how God wants to turn your life around. Let's take a look at this. In verse 1, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for a letter of the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, any Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. I mean, this guy was a bad guy. Like, he was a bad, really one of the top bad guys there was. And so bad that actually he was there when Stephen got stoned to death. And Stephen was the first Christian that died for his faith, and Paul was there and just holding everybody's coats as the religious leaders could kill Stephen. And he was a bad guy. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Verse 7, "The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus." Verse 9, "For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything." You know, I want to have it tonight about God of salvation. God of salvation. The biggest miracle God did was to send his son to the world to save you and I. His heartbeat, God's heartbeat is people. God loves people. His heartbeat is people. People are the apple of his eye. He loves people, and he loves to save people that are far away from him to be in relationship with him. And God loves people. That's his heart. And I have just 3 points about salvation and about this topic tonight. The first one is God loves you right where you are. God loves you right where you are. See, he loved Paul right where he was. He loved him so much that he didn't want him to be there, but he wanted him to change. But see, he loved you right in the midst of your sin, right when you thought, "God can't love me. I'm not perfect." God loves you, and his heart is beating for you. He loves you. You're the apple of his eye. In verse 4, it says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" I really think this was a cry from God's heart saying, not pointing a finger, but saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" See, the grace in the voice of God at that moment was, "Saul, Saul, I have so much more for you. Saul, Saul, I love you right where you're at. Saul, Saul, my heart is beating for you, Saul." And you know, I think God's voice right now, tonight, is putting your name there. I love you, Saul, Saul, my heart is for you. And wherever you're at, you might feel like God cannot love you, because you've made too much mistakes. You've ruined your life. You're in sin. And you're even feeling guilty being in church tonight because you know what you've done. But you know, really, God is just looking at you. And he's saying, "Saul, Saul, I love you. Saul, Saul, my heart is for you. My heart is for you." You know, it's the love of God that changes us. It's his love. And John 3:16, we all know this verse, but it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I love this because it says, "For God so loved the world." He did not just like the world, and liking the world would have been enough for us, right? If God would like the world, it would have been enough for us if God appreciated the world. But it says that he not only loved the world, but he so loved the world. You know, his love for us is amazing. And the world is a big world, with lots of different people, with lots of different people that have made mistakes. I've made mistakes. You've made mistakes. You look like someone that might have made a few mistakes. Maybe not, but you know, we've all made mistakes. The Pope has made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. But despite our mistakes, God loves us. And mistakes can break you, or mistakes can make you. And it's your choice. What am I going to do with this mistake? Am I going to get up and get better from it? Or am I going to allow this mistake in my life, the sin in my life, to break me, to hold me, to keep me where I'm at in my pit? Or am I going to learn from it? I've made plenty of mistakes. And just a couple years ago, I was at a conference with my pastor, and I had to leave earlier, and we rented this beautiful rented SUV, like a mafia car, you know, and so I'm not a good driver. I attest to that. I am not a good driver. That's why I still don't have my license here in Holland, and it's been 3 years. But we were at this conference, and I had to bring the car back to the rental at the airport, and one of the things I hate are parking garages. And so I got this car and I went to the parking garage and I was trying to park it somewhere. And I was backing up and I heard this like beeping sound. Beep, 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 beep. Boom! Before I knew it, I crashed into a pole and just totally destroyed that brand new SUV that I rented. And it even had a camera in the back and a beeping sound. And so you might feel like you've made mistakes, but I've made some stupid mistakes, right? But to be honest, I've made even worse mistakes. And when I was a youth pastor in America, I made some dumb mistakes, some bad character mistakes, and I was kind of ready to quit, and I felt like, man, I've blown it, and I've made mistakes, and am I really up for this ministry? Is this really what God's calling me to? If He has, why do I make these mistakes? And I remember my pastors, they called me in, and I knew it wasn't good, you know, and they called me in, and they said, Joshua, we can fire you right now, but we choose to give you grace. We choose to love you. We choose to give you a chance. We see the potential in you. And you know, God sees your potential. At that moment, it changed my life because I was always preaching about grace and always loving other people. But I didn't realize and experience the grace of God in my own life. That God said, I love you, Joshua. It's okay. Get back up. There's a second chance for you. And you know, the grace of God that my pastors gave me that day, it changed my life. And I'm different because of that. God's grace for you is big. He loves you right where you're at. He loves you. And are you willing to love people right where they're at? You know, sometimes it's easy to love people when they're perfect, when they got it going on, when they look good and when they're in church, and when they talk the talk, you know what I mean, the Christian talk, hallelujah, you know, your gnade is genoeg. And but when they're talking a different talk, when they're a little bit not as good in the church, and maybe they've made mistakes, and they're just a little bit off, are we still willing to love those people? Are we still willing to show them grace? You know, because it's not about the words we say, but it's about the life that we live. It's about the actions that we take. You know, people don't care what you know until they know how much you care. Are we willing to show the grace that God's shown us to other people and love them right where they're at? God loves you right where you're at tonight. He's got a plan for you. My second point on salvation, God is salvation, is God gives you a new identity. When He saves you, it's not just that He saves you from hell, but He actually gives you a whole brand new identity, meaning a whole new person that you are, a whole new being that you are. God gives you a new identity. And you know, maybe tonight you have different labels put on you, maybe from what people have spoken over you. And you allow these labels to form your identity. You allow their words to form who you are. And tonight you might be wearing a label of not good enough, of not good enough. Maybe people have said you're not good enough. Maybe in your school, you're not good enough. Maybe in a relationship, you're not good enough. Maybe in your family, you've heard this in different ways. You're not good enough. And they put this label on you, and you've allowed it to form your identity. Maybe another one is, maybe people have called you ugly and your appearance, and they haven't accepted you, and you've allowed this label to form your identity, and now you're allowing their words to form your words. You know, words are so powerful. God created the world with words. He spoke existence into being, and we can speak our world into existence, and we can allow other people to speak into our life and form our identity if we give Him that room. And maybe you've allowed people to put this label on you. Maybe about your appearance. You're not good enough. You're not accepted. You're not beautiful. and you've allowed for words to form your identity, and now you're walking around believing those lies. Maybe another one is you're not wanted. You're not part of this group. You're not part of our friends. You're not wanted. You're not wanted in this family. You're not wanted in this job. You're not wanted. And you put that label, they put that label on you, and that's formed your identity. And now you're walking around this world with that identity of not wanted. And you've allowed them to form your identity. And maybe another one is people have said you're stupid. Maybe they've said you don't know much of anything. And you've allowed that to form your identity. And maybe another one, this one speaks to me a little bit, is a misfit. You just don't really fit anywhere. I grew up here in Holland and then moved to America. And this is the label that people put on me, is that I didn't quite fit. I didn't quite belong. And I've allowed that to form my identity. But you know, God's got a new identity for you. He speaks words over your life that are different than what other people speak over you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "You are royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." He calls you a royal priesthood. He calls you his child. And you know, when you allow God to speak over you, his words, and you look at what God has to say, and if you open up your Bible, he says, you know, that you're his child, that you're a chosen people, that God loves you, and that you've got an inheritance from the King of Kings. And if you allow those things to form you, and he said, "I've created you in your mother's womb, and you're my masterpiece, you're beautiful." When you allow that to form your identity, you don't have to wear the labels that people put on you. You don't have to allow their words to form your identity. And some of you, you're living in the clothing of other people, what they've put on you, and you just gotta take that off tonight, because God's got words of life for you. He's got greatness for you. He says, "You can do it. You're my son. You're my daughter." And don't allow the lies of the enemy to form your identity, because he would love to kill you right before you step out and to make an impact. He would love to destroy you. He would love to control your identity, because if he can control your identity, he can control your future. Watch out what others speak over you. Speak life over yourself. Speak life over yourself. Speak what God is speaking over you. Get the word inside of you. It doesn't matter if they hate you. It doesn't matter if they speak negativity over you. It's what God speaks over you. And you know, that's what I love, is that God is our Father. Yeah, that's right. You can give him a hand clap. When you get the Father's voice on your life, it changes everything, because you don't need acceptance from people. When you got your Father saying, "I love you, I see you, you're my chosen person, I got grace for you, I've given you gifts and talents, and you're beautiful right where you're at." You know, that forms your identity, that gives you security, that gives you confidence, so you're able to walk in places that you never thought you were able to walk into. You're able to walk into environments and make a difference, because you're not wearing the clothes of other people, but you're wearing the clothes that God put on you. His words that's forming your identity. I'm so passionate about this, because many of us, we can get stuck in bad patterns because of what other people speak on us. And I think this is so powerful. If we can get this, is that God speaks life over you. He loves you. His grace is so much. So when you give your heart to Jesus, he not only saves you, but he gives you an identity. You belong to his family, and it changes your lives. Changes your life. Yeah. My last point is, and the band can come up, is God can turn your mess into a message. God can turn your mess into a message. See, what he did is, in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, because Paul, first known as Saul, was He was a mess. I mean, he was a mess. He persecuted people. But God looked at him and he said, you are the right person for this job. You're the right person for what I have planned. In verse 15 of chapter 9, this man, he says, about Paul, is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. See, the gospel had gone out to the Jews. It had gone out to the Jews. And Peter, he was responsible for that, as well as the other disciples. But the Gentiles, which was the rest, they still had to get reached. And God called Paul, his chosen instrument, to go to the rest of the world and bring the gospel. And you know, Paul felt maybe inadequate, maybe not right for the job. And the thing is, God used his mess to turn it into his message. And God looks at you and says, yeah, maybe there's some mess in your life, but I'm going to use that for good. Not that it is good, but I'm going to turn it around and use it for good. It's going to be a message of hope. And so no matter where you're at tonight in your life, you might feel you have so much mess going on. But I'm here to tell you that God can use that mess and turn it into a message of hope, of restoration. God wants to use you for that. You know, one of the things that happened was Paul, his eyes, he was blinded for 3 days. And the eyes represent vision. And this is so important, vision. You know, when you get saved, God of salvation, he gives you vision, a new vision, a God-given purpose. See, a God-given purpose is always connected to people. The difference between purpose and God-given purpose is God-given purpose is always connected to making an impact to people, because God's heartbeat is people. And so Paul, he was blinded 3 days, but I believe during that 3 days, God was working on his vision. He said, I need to get your eyesight closed for a moment. I need to give you some new vision for your life. See, God has incredible vision for your life. Vision is so powerful. If you align your vision with God's vision, anything is possible. God has an incredible purpose for your life. Incredible purpose. A God-given purpose. Whom the world counts out, God counts in. Whom the world counts out, God counts in. See, the world would have counted Paul out, saying, he can't be used for this task. He's made too many mistakes. I mean, he was a terrorist. He killed people. He was there when Stephen got stoned, and he was okay with it. The world would have counted him out. The disciples counted him out. Peter counted him out. Everyone in the world counted him out, but God counted him in. God said, no, this person is the right person for the task. And you know what I think? Is you might be counting yourself out to be used by God because you feel like you've made too many mistakes. You've had too much mess ups. And see, you're counting yourself out. People in your world are counting you out because they say, why do you think so big? Why do you think God can use you? I mean, you've made many mistakes. God would use someone else. See, the lies that people can speak over you. But you know what? God looks at you. Every single person here, he's looking at you from the back row to the middle, to the side, and he has his finger on you. And he said, I count you in. I choose you. I got a plan for you. I want you. You're my child. I've got great destiny for you. I've got purpose for you. I've got life for you. I've got an inheritance for you. I've got a plan for your life. And see, people might have counted you out, but don't you worry. I counted you in. And if I count you in, ain't nobody gonna count you out. No matter what they say, it doesn't matter, because I've counted you in. That's the power of God, is He can count you in, and it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter. John 10, verse 28, it says, I give them, people, eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and He is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand, but Father and I are one. Maybe with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here tonight and to be honest, maybe you don't have a relationship with a Father, and actually you've allowed other people to form your identity. And you're here in this place, and maybe a friend brought you, or you've been coming for a while, and to be honest, you're far away from God. And tonight you want to put Him not just in your heart, but you want to put Him first place in your life. I want to pray for you, and I'm believing hundreds will make this decision to go from death to life tonight, because God, He loves you so much that He gave His Son to die for your sin, so that you can be in relationship with the Father, that you can have eternal life. But not just eternal life, that's already great in itself, but He'll give you a purpose. He'll give you a new identity that's able to form your life. If that's you tonight, I'd love to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I just want to ask you to maybe to slip up your hand with no one looking, from side to side, just for privacy. If that's you and you say, Josh, include me in a prayer, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, 3, just get ready to raise your hand. 2, 1. Anybody here ready to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Just raise up your hand. Hands going from left to right, from front to back. Amazing. Don't wait for next month, because next month might not come for you. We're not granted next chance. Anybody else? If you brought somebody tonight, thank you, thank you. If you raise your hand, you can put it back down. If you brought somebody tonight, just ask them, hey, do you want to pray this prayer with me? Let's just take a moment. If you brought somebody tonight. Amazing, amazing. Church, why don't we just stand up at this moment, and I'm going to pray for you, for those that made a decision for Jesus. Why don't we pray this together as a church? And if you made this decision, pray with your heart, your entire heart for this. Let's pray this together. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I accept you into my life. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Can we just give a big applause? That's amazing. Come on, come on, come on. This is why we do what we do. It says that angels are rejoicing because of you making a decision. That's incredible. What we have is, after the service, we have leaders here that would love to pray with you. If you made that decision, just let some of our team know. And I'm speaking like I'm family here, but we are, right? Let them know. They would love to help you in your next step. Hey, look, I was talking about, I actually want to do something different. I was going to give a response for if you want to win souls, but I really feel like maybe God wants to deal with some many of us tonight about our identity. Because we've allowed people to speak negativity over us. You've allowed yourself to get this lie in your head of negativity, of brokenness, of you're not good enough, you're ugly. You've allowed the voice of Satan to form your identity. And we got prayer leaders here tonight. And I want to invite anyone that wants to come forward. But when I spoke about identity, something in you was like, Joshua is speaking to me. And I believe that's many, and maybe all of us, I don't know, many people that need to get prayed over, that need to get affirmation, that need to get some lies broken off your life about who you are. Because when you discover whose you are, you can discover who you are. See, many of us were in this life at our age, 20s, we're trying to discover who we are without knowing God. But when we discover whose we are, we can know who we are. When we discover who God is and what He thinks about us, we can know who we are. And I believe that we're going to do some amazing ministry time. So maybe just with eyes closed and heads bowed, and soon we're going to go into this song. And if that's you saying, Joshua, I need to get prayed over. I've had some lies. People speak over me, some negativity. I've believed some lies. Don't wait. Just come forward. Just come forward to the sides, and we have leaders. Come on, if that's you, 3, 2, 1, don't wait any longer. Let's come forward and let's get prayed over. Let's get these lies broken off our life. If that's you, I want to invite you forward. Come on, church, let's sing this out.